I'm Marty Moscow, and welcome to Radio Times. This year's Mummers Parade offended a lot of people, including the new mayor, Jim Kenney, who has been a mummer. And while the annual New Year's Day parade included more diversity, there were brigades that mocked Caitlyn Jenner, the Black Lives Matter movement, and insulted Latinos with mummers in brown face and wearing sombreros. A mummer shouting homophobic insults went viral. The new mayor said that things were going to change for next year. And today on Radio Times, we talk about the controversy, the tradition, and freedom of speech. And we have three guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Nellie Fitzpatrick is Director of LGBT Affairs for the City of Philadelphia. Nellie, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you here. Also with us is George Beatty. He's a pro bono lawyer, spokesman for the Mummers, and chair of Love the Mummers. That's an umbrella group of various mummer clubs and divisions. He's also a tenor saxophone player with the Frailinger String Band for over 40 years and founding partner of Beatty, Sloan, and DeGeneva, and that's a Center City law firm. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times, too, George.
Happy to be here.
And also with us is Ian Morrison, founder of the Miss Fancy Brigade, the first LGBT brigade in the Mummers Association. Also the creator of Philly's Drag Mafia. That's the city's longest-running and most award-winning drag troupe, and former associate editor for the Philadelphia Daily News. And Ian Morrison, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Great.
It's great to have all three of you, especially here in studio. Nellie, is this a turning point for the Mummers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There, you know, this has been something that not just the bias or hurtful behavior towards the LGBT community, but for various communities that has happened year after year. And I think that anybody here in Philadelphia knows that every year, come the afternoon and evening of the first into the second, people are hurt, and that hurt remains through the year. And I think people just begin to slightly forget about it in time to think, oh no, here comes another New Year's Day parade.
And another controversy?
Exactly, exactly. So I think that we're really in a wonderful moment now where people are actually coming to the table, beginning to have these conversations, have this dialogue, and recognize that even though you may not realize what you did was hurtful, you understand that you are hurting people and that things need to change. With the change in administration and having Jim Kenney, who is not only a champion for all people in the city, but also a mummer,
yes,
or a former mummer, I really do think that we're going to see some wonderful growth.
What do you see, George? Do you see this as a turning point for the mummers?
Well, I agree with Nellie to some extent. I think it's really an important thing to keep in mind that the mummers are made up of thousands and thousands of people who are out there in good faith to celebrate the new year with their family, friends, and neighbors, and it's a tradition that's gone on for 300 years. It's only been sanctioned since 1901, so this is the 116th parade. But I think it's important to remember that the vast majority, thousands and thousands of mummers, are there for the right reason, and if a handful of people do things which are inappropriate, then we as mummer leadership need to do something about it.
And we'll pick up on that. Ian, let me get you in on the conversation. And speaking of Jim Kenney, he asked you to be part of the Mummers Parade a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was 2012, and I met with then Councilman Jim Kenney, publisher of PJ and Mark Siegel, Councilman Mark Squilla. There was a lot of names and people that really wanted the LGBT community to be involved with the mummers. So we started the Miss Fancy Brigade. We marched in 2013, and we called ourselves the Miss Fancies because they actually invited us to perform at the Convention Center for the Fancy Brigade finale. So here we had these amazing performances, and then in between each one, there was like a solo act by one of our drag queens or trans women to perform in front of thousands of people. And it was a big turning point, you know, for us being welcomed to the parade like that. That was a pretty amazing show of love for the LGBT community. So I took it as, you know, major steps forward, but then there's always the one or two little steps back, like is this year.
Well, what do you make of the steps back this year, as you just put it?
So, I mean, this year we started the Philadelphia Division, which was a great point to welcome all diversity and different communities to the Mummers Parade. It's one step forward from just inviting the LGBT group themselves. So we had all these different cultures and diversified communities coming together to actually move the parade into 2016 and make all communities welcome. You have a group of drag queens and trans women leading the very front of the parade, followed by African-American groups and Latino groups. And then, you know, one brigade takes it amongst themselves to produce what they considered a political satire, you know, of Caitlyn Jenner. But here we are taking these steps forward, leading the actual parade for our third year. And then these kind of things happen, and it's kind of a slap in the face.
Well, Nellie, let me go back to you. And I guess the part of the parade that has gotten the most controversy was the part of the parade that had to do with Caitlyn Jenner.
Correct.
What was the issue? What was wrong with what they did?
There was a lot wrong with what they did. And I think that what we have to do is we have to step back and understand that when we're talking about satire, that doesn't mean bullying, humiliation. It doesn't mean looking at the minority or the marginalized and kicking them down further while they're already struggling. The actual definition of satire, if we get real basic with this, the
sure.
Merriam-Webster basic definition, it actually says that I think the simple definition when you look this up is a way of using humor to show that someone or something is foolish, weak, bad, etc. Humor that shows the weakness or bad qualities of a person, government, or society. And then the more formal definition says, a literary work holding up human vices and follies to ridicule or scorn. And when it comes down to it, what that particular skit or I guess you could call it a performance did was choose something about someone that is not their choice. It is something that makes them a highly, highly marginalized and stigmatized individual in our society.
We're talking about trans people.
Transgender individuals. And make fun of it to such a way that it actually sanctions violence. And I know that's hard for some people to understand. But you have to recognize that when we're talking about trans-identified people, we're talking about roughly 700,000 individuals in our country. That's not a lot of people. However, last year alone, we saw 23 people who were trans-identified murdered. We saw two trans-identified women violently murdered in Philadelphia last year. To understand some of the things that trans people go through is necessary to see why this isn't somewhere where you're making fun of a powerful structure or a government figure. You're doing the opposite. You're targeting the most weak, the people who need the help the most, and you're actually kicking them down for it. You're othering them, and you're teaching people that it's okay to make fun of them. And that really gives people license to go out there, point fingers, discriminate, and ultimately be violent towards these individuals.
Let me read an email that we got from someone who described themselves as an out and proud gay member of Finnegan's NYB. Mm-hmm. This is the group that we're talking about. Goes on to write, I realized that this was not about the trans community as a whole. And this is someone that sort of looked and talked to people part of this skit. This was a specific skit about the Kardashian-Jenner family and the highly publicized spectacle of their lives. There was not an ounce of ill intent towards the transgender community, nor was there an ounce of transphobia or homophobia. If I believe there was, I would not have and could not have in good conscience as a member in support of such a message. And this was someone, I'm just quoting here, this email that we got.
Right.
I know you want to say something, but let me start with you, George.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that the group that did this skit never intended to hurt anyone. But at the same time, I'm hearing Nellie and I'm hearing the trans community that were hurt by this. So obviously there's good intent on both sides here. But I think this dialogue that we're having now should have happened before New Year's so that the brigade would understand the concerns of the trans community and perhaps alter their skit to make it less offensive. But that doesn't mean that they can't say things about the Kardashian family or Bruce Jenner or the whole free speech thing. I think the dialogue is the key here, more so than necessarily the outcome. And I think if there's a willingness on the part of the Mummers and whatever community may be affected, whether it be Mexicans or Italians or trans people, whomever, that the dialogue is the critical thing. And I think that's a turning point we're making. I mean, the three of us are here on your show, Marty, and I think that's saying a lot.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, what it's easy to sort of dismiss the Mummers as just these are people just kind of blowing off steam on New Year's Day, but there's a tradition here, and there are important issues about speech and about expression.
Right. I mean, the wenches. I mean, I guess, and certain brigades are known to make this political commentary or satire, and they don't really reveal what they're going to do because they like to keep it time worthy. You know, what's in the news type of thing. However, it's kind of astonishing, you know, if they really meant no harm or anything, then coming out and portraying Bruce Jenner, you know, on the box of Wheaties, and then it was Caitlyn Jenner, you know, with Fruit Loops and the song Dude Looks Like a Lady. I don't understand how they cannot find that to be offensive. I understand there's certain satires involved, but there's usually satire involves some kind of intelligence behind it, and I just feel it just lacked any form of you know, there was nothing good that kind of came out of that. Anything productive, anything wit or commentary or...
You know something, though, I'd like to...
But should satire be funny? I mean, is that sort of the goal of satire is to make us laugh?
Many people that I've spoke to thought it was funny. They said it's funny, and they didn't see the offense in it. Now, when I started to speak with people like Nelly and Ian, I understand from the other side. And there's a more of a deeper understanding and a recognition that wouldn't have otherwise existed. I don't want to put Ian on the spot, but I will. Now, if you want to do a Caitlyn Jenner or a Kardashian kind of skit that focused on his whole newsworthiness of his change, et cetera.
Her change, his to her.
Correct. Is that okay? All right.
Go ahead.
And thank you, Nelly, because those are the kinds of things that we straight people aren't necessarily thinking about. It's not – nobody's intending – when I just spoke that those words, I wasn't intending to make anybody feel bad or hurt anybody. It was just – came out, but now that I think about it, I think it's good. So, Ian, how would you do that skit about Caitlyn Jenner
that would not be offensive?
I
mean,
obviously representing an LGBT.
Right. I mean, what you're looking at is, you know, the Kardashians, you know, everybody makes fun of the Kardashians, but that's a public domain issue. When you go into talking about a former declared Olympic athlete that's going through his own personal change on becoming who he wants to be and what he needs to do to become that person. I feel even if he wasn't associated with the Kardashians, this story still would have been monumental, you know, considering his fame as a former Olympic athlete and sharing, you know, being brave enough to share his story with the entire world. I just feel like that does not really involve the public domain aspect of or something that should be made fun of. In that sense, I mean, this guy was brave enough to share his story with the whole world. Was it the best thing to do it via the Kardashian umbrella? Probably not, but he's still brave to share that story.
He was on Vanity Fair's cover, and that was a big...
Everyone.
Sorry.
It's okay. No,
here we go.
This is why we're here.
This is a good thing, and I'm glad Nelly corrected me because...
George and I have an understanding that anytime he strays outside of the line, we use it as a chance to really step forward and understand what's
going on.
We'll
call it a teaching moment, and that's fine with me.
Hey,
and it's
a
good thing.
We can all use some education.
So I think this whole episode, as distasteful as it may have been, is a good thing in the long run because it's increasing awareness, increasing understanding. It's making George Beatty listen to Nelly when she says, wait, it's she, not he. And she's right.
That's true.
About 30 seconds before our break, Nelly, looks like you want to say something.
Yeah. Listening to all of this and talking about how could we possibly do a skit that's proper, how could we do something that's funny and that's pointing at the Jenners versus somebody who is trans-identified, this would not be a skit if Caitlyn Jenner were not trans-identified, period.
It wouldn't have been a skit if he wasn't a Kardashian either.
Correct. Absolutely. Sure. But the reality is had we found out this former Olympian had some sort of a tragic disease and had to learn to live in some sort, you know, in a wheelchair or had anything else along these lines, we wouldn't be making fun of this person.
Right.
They were living their lives so that they could survive and be themselves and be happy. And that's all Caitlyn did. And to chastise her and belittle her for that is just not humane.
We are going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation talking about the Mummers Parade, a tradition here in Philadelphia on New Year's Day and some controversy related to that parade, including a mocking, I should say, of Caitlyn Jenner. Stay with us. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain. As we all know, New Year's Day has come and gone, but this year's Mummers Parade has left a bad taste for some, including the city's new mayor, Jim Kenney. He was offended by a brigade that mocked Caitlyn Jenner. There were also questions raised about performers dressed in brown face and sombreros. We're looking at this year's controversy. We'll be talking a bit about this Philadelphia tradition and whether it's time to institute some new rules and regulations. Again, our guests are Nellie Fitzpatrick, Director of LGBT Affairs for the City of Philadelphia, George Beatty, a spokesman for the Mummers, and a lawyer, Ian Morrison, founder of the Miss Fancy Brigade and creator of the Philly Drag Mafia. And joining us now is Mary Catherine Roper, and she's Deputy Legal Director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. And Mary Catherine Roper, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty. I'm very pleased to join you.
Nice to have you with us, and I would love to have you in here, but we got so many people in this room. Is the Mummers Day Parade, are those activities, the costumes, the language, is that a protected form of speech?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the strongest traditions we have in this country is the ability of folks to use the streets for expression, whether it's political or otherwise. That's all very much cherished under the First Amendment.
Now, my understanding is that a couple of decades ago, blackface was prohibited, I believe, by a court or a legal decision, blackface in the Mummers Parade. Can that apply to brownface?
Well, I'm not familiar with how a court got involved in that. And when you say prohibited, you go right to the heart of the distinction I need to make. The Mummers can make any rules they want about what's going to be allowed in their parade. The government, however, has a lot fewer options when you talk about controlling speech in a public forum.
Well, let me get Nellie Fitzpatrick in on the conversation. And my understanding from some of the articles that I read is that the mayor is looking to see what the city can do to deal with some of the controversies that have sprung up from this parade. You're a lawyer yourself.
Correct.
Can the city of Philadelphia tell Mummers what they can and can't do?
We cannot tell them exactly what they can and can't do. We certainly can't take away their First Amendment rights. However, we can work together, which is what we are doing as a unified front here to make sure that this tradition that so many people, including the city of Philadelphia, have been so proud of for so long is actually reflective of the purpose of the celebration, the community, the tradition, the music, the costumes, all the things that make this parade so great. We're working together to really bring it back to that and eliminate things that cause such incredible pain for people that send out the wrong messaging and that just don't represent what our city or the Mummers are as a whole.
And George, you're a lawyer as well.
I'm a lawyer as well, and I agree with Nellie. And I also want to thank Mary Catherine, not only for what she's done this time, but for what she does all the time with the ACLU. And I point out that back in 2008, the end of 08, early 09, the Nutter administration tried to shut down the parade. They took away all the prize money. They also tried to charge the Mummers huge amounts of money in order to march. And I called Mary Catherine, and Mary Catherine answered the call, and she came with me, and she was at the table, and we saved the parade several years ago when they tried to shut it down based on First Amendment issues. So, Mary Catherine, thank you so much for all you've done in the past. We really do appreciate it. But
it's great to talk to you again.
She's beaming, but yes, go ahead.
No, I mean, what the ACLU does is so important, and people don't realize it if they think about it, you know. But anyway, we won't go into a ACLU thing at the moment. I also would like to say that even though the Mummers recognize that we do have First Amendment rights, it doesn't mean we have to exercise them to the point of offending people. For example, the Mummers would have a right to go out and burn the American flag on Broad Street on New Year's Day, and that's within their rights to do so. But nobody's talking about going out and burning flags. In fact, this is going to be a cooperative venture with the city, with Ian and the other people, the other groups, the other diverse. You know, we want to have this be a much more inclusive event. And in order to do that, we need to consider everybody's interests.
Well, Mary Catherine, going back to you, and based on what you said earlier, which is this is really up to the Mummers. If they want to have some, what, rules and regulations, it's up to them to come up with it, not up to the city?
Well, I didn't say they have to come up with them themselves. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the city government sitting down, as they're doing now, working with the Mummers to say, you know, this is what we think makes Philadelphia proud. This is what we think doesn't make Philadelphia proud. The question is about enforcement. And if the city wants to offer incentives to the Mummers, you know, prize money or other incentives to do things the city's way, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But simply saying, you know, we aren't going to give you a permit or you're going to have to pay for police support or anything coercive like that to try to enforce rules the city wants, that is where the line stops.
Is the city planning on doing anything like that, Nellie?
We're looking at all options right now, and we're working together with the Mummers. So as we move forward, and we're going to see what works best, what will be productive and what won't, is where we're flexible to grow. The goal is very, very clear. So whatever it takes to get there is what we're working towards. However, you know, we're not, of course, looking to just go and tear down tradition that is there and take away from anything that is so celebratory and wonderful.
I'd also like to point out the fact that, you know, the blackface issue, that wasn't a few years ago or
64,
10.
64, right?
It was right. It was over 50 years ago that happened. Mm-hmm. And it was a collaborative effort. I mean, the Mummers didn't want to have blackface, the Mummers leadership. And they worked with the city and they implemented regulations that said, if you come out that way, you're out. You're disqualified. You know, it's the kind of thing the Mummers have never as an institution, wanted to offend any group of people.
Right.
And what's been happening more recently with, you know, Mayor Kenney, we're thrilled that Mayor Kenney's now there because he shares our vision for this parade to become the biggest thing in our whole nation on New Year's Day. You might want to go to Times Square to watch the ball drop, but that's nothing compared to the next day down here in Philadelphia.
Correct.
Where we're going to have the biggest, best celebration ever. In the years to come, this parade is going to be more and more inclusive, and it's just going to be a great thing for the city because it belongs to all Philadelphians.
Right, and I hear what George is saying, and yet this was over 50 years ago that the Mummers said, no, we're not going down the street in blackface. And yet, if you go out there, we have Mummers going down the street in blackface and in brownface. So this is why it's time for us to actually step in and do the education and encourage and support the Mummers as they structure themselves and learn how to self-police, because we haven't gotten there yet. If this was 50 years and we're still here, we've got a lot of work to do to get in 1 year to where we know we need to be.
Ian, you
correct.
Want to add
I
something?
Totally
then we'll go back to
Nelly.
Mary
Kay. I mean, it's 2016 now. It's not 1960 anymore. I think what this year's parade showed was that we kind of ripped the Band-Aid off of the wound and need to address certain issues that certainly there should be some kind of regulatory, you know, actions. Just, you know, we can't say you cannot do this, but maybe if there was better planning, or, you know, when you have an LGBT division with community diversity leading the actual parade, that should be reflective on the entire parade that's also nationally televised. And we're showing this, you know, national television, what Philadelphia has to offer in terms of community. And this was kind of a couple setbacks for us. I mean, there's so many stories to share about the positive aspect of the Mummers, which I'd like to
get into. We'll get to that. Yeah. I promise. Mary Catherine, let me go back to you. I mean, we were talking earlier about satire and how sometimes satire, it's tricky, sometimes in the eye or the ear of the beholder. Coming from an ACLU perspective, how do you wrestle with this notion of satire? And I guess who can be satirized or parodied?
Yeah, it gets really simple under the First Amendment, which is the government doesn't get to decide what is successful satire and what is just bad taste. that is left to the marketplace of ideas. And I think it's called the market. It's a great metaphor, actually, the marketplace of ideas, because, I don't go to comedy clubs where people are insulting women and minorities. I'm not going to go to a parade where people are insulting women and minorities. And I'll make my own decision about what's satire and what's just bad taste. That is what the First Amendment gives us all the freedom to do and does not allow the government to do. The government just doesn't get to decide whether you can march in brown face or not, whether that's funny or not. Mm. It's not funny to me. That is, again, it comes down to the self-policing by the Mummers. That's what needs to happen.
Well, and talking about the marketplace ideas, it's underwritten by Sugar House.
Right, Sugar House is a major sponsor.
Is a major sponsor.
Is the title sponsor, actually. And they've been wonderful with the Mummers to help us out throughout the year.
Have they responded to some of these controversies that came up this year?
Absolutely. Sugar House is behind a lot of the, you know, they said, look, we want this to be for everybody. This is all a Philadelphia parade. Sugar House has been fantastic throughout this whole process. And they're a good influence on the situation.
You're nodding your head now.
Yeah, you know, I hear all this, and I hear what Mary Catherine Roper's saying, and the nighttime comedy club is different. A movie that you're going to with an R rating is different. If you're an adult and you're signing up for what you know you're going to see, you know the type of comedians you're going to be listening to, that's different than what we're seeing our young people, our kids, and our entire city watching going down the street. The type of message that this sends, that it's okay to bully people, to pick on people, to belittle people, these kids are getting is just, it's horrendous. So it is different. And while I agree, it is the marketplace of ideas, we've got to work together to come up with a lot better of an idea of what we want our parade to look like.
Now, here's where Nelly and I don't necessarily agree. I didn't see this as some kind of situation where people were being bullied and belittled and beaten up, in any kind of organized way. You know, the Jenner skit offended people. Okay, fine. We hear you. But it wasn't a situation. I mean, I've spoken to those people, several of them in their club, and they had no idea that they were offending anyone. It wasn't about bullying and belittling and beating up people. It just, you know, it happened to have an effect on people that was unfortunate, but it wasn't intended.
Right. And what I am saying is that the effect that it has is that seeing adults come together and share in this joyous celebration of poking fun of or making fun of somebody because they're trans gives people the message that it is okay to do this.
Correct.
And ultimately what will result is bullying, harassment, violence,
those
type of things.
And I don't disagree with Nellie.
Let me jump in here. Only because I'm looking at the clock. We got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. I want to give Mary Catherine Roper just any final words from you, Mary, before we have to say goodbye to you.
I think this is just a perfect example of what the First Amendment means, which is we have a disagreement over what is and isn't appropriate in the public sphere. The mummers have a choice to make, right, as to whether they want to be an all Philadelphia event or not. And if they do, then they might need to exercise some changes and some control. And so that's, you know, the First Amendment is about self-responsibility rather than turning to the government as big brother. So I'd say hooray for everybody involved in terms of this effort.
Well, Mary Catherine Roper, thank you so much for joining us. I know we could go on, but I have to end our conversation. Thanks for joining us on Radio Times today.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Deputy Legal Director for the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Ian, let me go back to you. And you've said several times during this hour, there is much to celebrate about the Mummers, much good stuff, and I want you
there
to
is.
Tell us about it.
Go ahead. I mean, what it comes down to is this parade, you know, represents a Philadelphia tradition. It's over 300 years old, but it's been here since 1901, sanctioned, you know, as a parade. And I think, you know, just with the very story of the Miss Fancy Brigade itself, like, you know, to have this big assembly from city council to actually meet with me, you know, a known drag queen here in Philadelphia, and want us to represent a large portion of the LGBT community to lead the parade and you know, do this with such joy. It's our third year leading the parade. But I will say what happened this year is just a very small, minute fraction of a couple members of the Mummers that, you know, hopefully doesn't tarnish the parade itself. This year alone, like, we have a brother group called the Philadelphia Spartans, and they're one of the Fancy Brigades, and they've welcomed us into their club at every chance that they've had. We've done bingo together. They actually brought me in to teach makeup and contouring and wig design to the straight men that work there. There was about 40 straight guys and their wives, and the husbands have makeup brushes in hand, and they're trying to do contouring on their wives' faces. It's a great, great moment. The best example I can give of the kind of protection love we have from the Mummers, other brigades, last year, you know, we changed the parade route, which was a huge deal. And a lot of the people that marched insisted on keeping with the old parade route. And as we led the parade down the new route, we could see brigades coming on the opposite side of the street. And I just grabbed my girl's hands and I said, let's be ready, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, we're breaking a tradition and bringing a new tradition in at the same time. So when the other brigades approached us, we all were very, very it was a very tense moment. But these guys started crossing the street, and we really didn't know what to expect. And they not only shook our hands. They all insisted on posing with pictures. Cops, police, firemen, babies. You know, the most touching moment I could say for the parade, to be welcomed by these guys that were keeping their tradition, even though we were going against it, and showed nothing but love and support for us.
Let me get some callers in. It looks like we have Hawk calling us from Claymont, Delaware. And go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Well, I just want to add from the beginning, I've been in the Mummers for over 40 years. I'm originally from Second Street. I lived in Southwest Philly for a long time. And I've been helping Mike Enemer for years with Finnegan New Year Brigade. I'm the founder of the actual club originally.
Oh, excellent.
Let's go over the first thing. We, as a group, never intended to hurt anybody's feelings. And, again, we all live and learn. It's unfortunate. The city knew exactly what we were doing. And if you watch the tape on TV, they were pretty silent, Steve Highsmith and the gang, because they knew exactly what we were doing. So apparently we offended. We didn't realize this until it was all done.
And Steve, we should say that was Channel 17, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they
didn't
say too much during our sketch, and they usually make a big deal out of us every year because we do good stuff for the most part. Most of our members are taxpaying people that work very hard. It's basically a big reunion for our old neighborhood that no longer exists for where we grew up at, where Jim Kenny was the city councilman. I think the biggest thing that disappoints me when I listen to Mrs. Fitzpatrick with Mike Jerrick last week, trying to make us almost like dinosaurs, which maybe we are. But the other end of it is that we're also people that have free speech. We did exactly a parody of what exactly happened with the Jenner and the Kardashians. Okay. Also, Mr. Jenner, as far as I know, there was two things we backed off on in our meetings. We didn't do the car crash with him killing somebody.
Mm.
Okay, nobody wants to talk about that. We didn't bring in Obamacare, which we thought about doing. So we do think about backing off on stuff, but we just did a parody of exactly what happened, and there's no intent to hurt the LGBT people.
Yeah, Hawk, hold on, only because I want to give Nellie a chance to respond. I'm sure our other guests do as well, and we're almost up in a break here, but Nellie, go ahead.
Sure.
Right, and Hawk, you know, I hear you, and you do have a First Amendment right to do whatever you want to do, but even just in listening to what's going on here and how you're referring to Caitlin still by male pronouns and Mr. instead of Miss, you know, I think that both of us together have an opportunity to sit down and talk and come up with, you would have an opportunity to have a show that instead of getting you all this negative flack would get you a lot of positive. And while I understand that anybody with the last name Jenner is in the public spotlight and ready to be ridiculed, there's just more to what's going on here that honestly, you know, growing up on 2 Street and everything else, maybe you've never met these people, and I would be happy to really bring these people's lives into your purview and into your understanding so that your skits going forward, your performances going forward, never have this type of impact on anybody else again.
Hawk, hold on, only because we have to take a very short break, and our other guests, I'm sure, want to weigh in as well. We are talking about this year's Mummers Parade. Some people offended by some of the revelry and some of the elaborate costumes, some of the brigades as well. We've been talking about one of the brigades having to do with Caitlyn Jenner, and this is Finnegan New Year's Brigade, and Hawk is joining us by telephone. On my computer says he invented the Jenner sketch. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, and you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, having a very lively, interesting conversation about this year's Mummers Day Parade. A number of people were offended by some of the brigades, and unfortunately, we've lost Hawk, who just called in. If you want to call us back, that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. But with us, certainly for the rest of the hour, we have Nellie Fitzpatrick, Director of LGBT Affairs for the City of Philadelphia. George Beatty, he's a pro bono lawyer spokesman for the Mummers, also a tenor saxophone player in the Frailinger String Band for over 40 years. And Ian Morrison with us as well, founder of the Miss Fancy Brigade, and is also creator of Philly Drag Mafia. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Unfortunately, we have lost Hawk, but I know you wanted to say something, Nellie.
Yeah, I was just curious, and I really wanted to ask Hawk. I understand that this person is the one that, you know, designed the skit or designed the performance, and, you know, if satire was the purpose, if comedy was the purpose, what exactly about it was funny? What was the goal? Was the goal that Caitlyn Jenner is a Fruit Loop? Is that because she's a famous person and she's a Jenner Kardashian, or is it because she's trans? If she weren't trans, would you still have done a skit about this person? I'm just curious. I'm honestly curious to know where where the intent was, because I think once you actually sit down and look at what was the funny part, things start to change. Things start to develop.
Let me throw something else out. We haven't really talked about brownface. I mean, the fact that there were people in brownface, they were wearing sombreros.
Children.
A taco theme to it.
Children.
I mean, I'm looking at you, George. Is that beyond the pale?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that, again, this is a situation which probably in the future would require some level of dialogue before that theme or skit is put out there. in terms of the people who ran that skit, they spoke with some Mexican Americans about it and apparently were not offended. There's sombreros and ponchos, and he did the Mexican hat dance, and they had maracas. And again, this was not an intent to hurt anybody's feelings. It was an ethnic theme. And one of the things we spoke about, Nellie and I, as well as the other Mummer leaders, is that in the future, when there's an ethnic theme, for example, there should be more input, there should be more dialogue and discussion before that theme hits the street. But again, we're talking about people who are well-intentioned, and I don't, you know, if they didn't put the brown makeup on their faces and they just had sombreros and maracas and they did the Mexican hat dance, is it really so terrible?
Well, the question is out there. Go ahead, Ian.
I mean, especially with the development of the new Philadelphia division, where all these communities are actually represented, you know, as a major step forward to, for cultural diversity in the parade. And we were welcomed by, you know, Mayor Kenney and all the people involved. Again, I mean, unfortunately, you know, those kind of costumes still exist even when you go to a Halloween store, you know, of these standard, you know, 1950s sketchy, you know, costumes. They're still there and available. But I think it's maybe more of just being aware, you know, that you're representing, you know, the city in this family tradition-based parade, and you're putting that out there. And what you're doing is you're setting us back to, you know, past decades, so we fought so hard to come forward, and it's really setting us back.
I'm sorry. I don't, you know, I think we're all well-intentioned here, and I think Ian and Nellie and I are on the same page generally. However, when we talk about something like this, this ethnic theme, I haven't heard any Mexican-Americans come forward and say, oh, my goodness, I was so horribly offended by these people doing the Mexican hat dance. It was an innocuous skit. Right. People doing some Mexican thing, okay? I agree that going forward, we should have a better system, a better plan to vet these things so that they don't cause harm or problems. But really, step back from this Mexican hat dance thing. And what about it was so offensive? I mean, I know people are saying, oh, they shouldn't have used brown face makeup. Okay. Now, if that had come out in November and they said, okay, we don't even need brown face makeup. We just want to have sombreros and do the Mexican hat dance. Is that so bad? I don't think so. I don't think we want to reduce the Mummer's Parade to some sanitized Disney-like event. This is the largest folk parade in the city, in the nation. It's something that has some level of spontaneity and fun and, you know.
It's kind of homemade, right?
Absolutely, and there's nothing else like it.
Let me get – we got a lot of people that want to join the conversation, including Clay. And Clay is calling us or joining us from Philadelphia. And Clay, go ahead. You are – on Radio Time. So
yeah, good morning, everyone. This really is kind of getting on my nerves. I'm a transplant to Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, when I first got here, I saw my first Mummer's Parade. I thought it was a pride parade because I'd never seen a Mummer before, all the fancy guys. But long story short, I've been in Philadelphia almost 29 years, almost 30 years, and it's the same discussion for 30 years. We didn't know we were offending anybody. We're so bad about it. We're well-intentioned. And we keep having the same discussion for 30 years. 30 years we're having the same discussion. And I for one, am kind of getting sick and tired of it. And the guy says he doesn't know any Hispanics who are offended. I know some. I know some. They didn't like it. And everybody's always asking the question, well, what's so wrong with it? Well, for 30 years, you've been asking the same blasted question.
Well, I hear
stop
you.
Stop doing it. Please
well,
stop doing it.
Okay, well. That's actually a really important point. And the question is, and I'm looking at you, Ian, which is he's saying, you know, either stop doing it. Does that mean stop doing the parade?
Well, we can't, you know, I think, you know,
thank
again,
you, Clay,
the,
by
the
way.
The parade being based on tradition and families and having such deep roots here in Philadelphia, it would be a shame to end that kind of long-standing tradition, you know, because of a few mistakes made by others. But maybe what, you know, these brigades present their ideas, you know, maybe it would be a smarter and better way to go about it if there were people within that brigade that were actually of the ethnicity or, you know, origin of the people that are being satired or being made fun of.
You know, Clay made a point, and Ian kind of touched on it. I think it's important to realize that even though there had been complaints once in a while, it wasn't every year. There's not a scandal every year. That's just an overstatement.
A lot of it is about just the drunkenness,
yeah,
I think,
right,
and
right.
The mess.
But I think if we take this opportunity and say, has this ever happened before? Have we ever been on Radio Times? Has there ever been such a dialogue that's been so public with a mayor who clearly is interested in this tradition? Mayor Nutter was looking to just shut it all down and say, you know, there's an economic study that we produced for Mayor Nutter back in 2008 that says the Mummers bring in over $9 million to this economy. Mm-hmm. And Mayor Nutter said, oh, we can't afford a few $100,000 for sanitation and police and things, but we're going to shut this down and lose $9 million of revenue. Just like the you know, the Dadville Regatta. It was a short-sighted approach. Now Mayor Kenney's in. He recognizes the value of what we have, and we're going to do a better job, and we're actually going to create this dialogue that never had existed before.
Nellie, you want to add to that?
Right. I agree with Clay. I think that what we're hearing is we're finally hearing from the voices of people who are the minorities, who are the marginalized, who haven't been able to stand up and say to this, you know, predominantly white, predominantly cisgender, predominantly heterosexual group of men going down the street in dresses, hey, stop making fun of us. They haven't had that opportunity, you know, and now they do. And people are saying, you know what, enough. And luckily, we are in a place where, you know what? A lot of those cisgender straight white men are like, we kind of agree. Maybe we could do better here. I think one of the most powerful things that keeps happening, I keep getting phone calls from personal friends who are mummers and hearing from people that I know who are police officers that are mummers that say, look, I didn't know that that was going to be offensive. I still don't really see why it's offensive, but I'm hearing from everybody that this hurt people. We've made international headlines with children in brown face dressed up as tacos and making fun of Caitlyn Jenner's transition. There's no disputing that this is not okay. And so even the folks who are saying, I still think it's funny, I still don't see the harm, but I'm hearing that people are hurt. That's because the people who haven't been able to say in the past, who haven't been able to say loud enough, clear enough, whatever it is, well, it's being heard. And maybe it's taken 50 years of it, but enough is enough.
So
and,
this is a great thing. Correct. Yeah. So I think we're all together on this. I think this is a great thing, the fact that this dialogue is now taking place. You could say what you want about the last 50 years, but now we're finally at a point where there's going to be discussion.
Let me get, looks like Leonard from West Philadelphia to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Leonard. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Marty. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am also a mummer. I'm a member of the Vaudevillains New York Brigade, and it's become a yearly tradition on January 2nd to wake up to a hangover and news of offensive things that other mummers have done. Our brigade definitely shies away from doing any kind of cultural skit, any kind of mocking of anyone. And what we would like to see is not only a check-in, because I know that the Mummers authorities have agreed to sort of have check-ins with people who are a member of that culture before doing a cultural skit. I would say that what we need to do is just not do cultural skits. There is a wealth of information out there that doesn't have anything to do with what someone eats, what someone dresses, who someone loves, or anything else. And Paul called in earlier, and he said, we chose not to do the Obamacare skit. I would encourage him to do a skit on Obamacare.
That is
up, not down.
There we go.
Well, I appreciate the call into Radio Times. Anything you want to say back to Leonard?
Leonard, first of all, thank you so much for calling in, because I think being a two-streeter myself, like, I lived across from the Joker's clubhouse, and growing up, seeing everything on New Year's Day, back in the 90s, you know, I always said that it was the one time of the year I felt cool walking out of my house in drag and just
There's
blending
a lot of
in
men
with the
in
whole
drag that
it's
day.
It's you know,
no
I've
question.
Never seen so many men in dresses. You know, and it's great. I think if more brigades actually came out to some of our LGBT events and actually met with our people, like we do drag bingo at the Spartans and everything. And, you know, I see at the beginning of our shows, the husbands are always standoffish and don't know how to accept us. They kind of like collect in the back of the room while the wives are getting their lives with us. And then by the end of the show, they are the first ones in line for photos of us. And I think it's just more about exposure, about the kind of people that we are to the whole Mummers Brigade, and bring out more of the better stories about the Mummers inclusion, you know, rather than these harmful headlines that kind of tarnish the great tradition that we have in the Mummers Parade.
There's growing pains. This is growing pains. That's exactly what's going on here.
Well, and Leonard said, I mean, sounds like he's saying you can do this, but you can't do that. You can do, you know, these kinds of, you can go do a critique of Obamacare, but you can't do something on Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, I think,
is that okay with you? I mean, that this is off base, but that is not.
This, when we talk about political satire, political speech, poking fun at those in power, I think Mayor Kenney's a great guy. I know him since we were kids. I'm so happy that he's the mayor, but he's not going to be spared some shots during his term. And I'm sure he knows that. And that's just the way mummers are. And that's the most protected speech. If Mary Catherine was here, she'd tell you.
Absolutely.
Political speech is the most sacred of all. So I think Mummers going forward, working with Nellie and Ian and like-minded people, are going to look at this and say, look, when we have a political issue, we could skewer Obama or Donald Trump or whomever, but if it's a group that is traditionally been beaten down in society, like the trans community, we need to be more careful and more sensitive. And I think the Mummers are willing participants in this whole growing pains process. So when people say there's always been complaints about stuff, first of all, not so much, not every year, but also it's never been addressed as directly and as completely as it is being right now.
Correct. Right. You know, I think that one thing that George brings up there, you know, of course the mayor will not be spared from being skewered by the Mummers. In fact, he
and
knows
maybe
that.
Maybe you will be too.
I'm sure that I will. The mayor actually said in one of his very first press addresses was, I expect the Mummers to be making fun of me. And I think he referenced his nose and some other things. So I'm sure he'll be right out there.
Right?
But,
I
love Jim Kenny, yeah, something though. That Leonard, our last caller, said that's really important that I've heard Mary Catherine Roper say, and that something is just, it's so critical, is punch up, not down.
Right.
You know, if you don't understand the minority group that you are punching down on, look to another minority group that maybe you do understand. If you don't understand that the trans community is a minority group you shouldn't punch, or that Mexican individuals are not somebody you should punch, or that immigrants are not somebody you should punch, then look at something you do understand. Maybe people who are in wheelchairs, maybe people who are blind, maybe the, you know, I mean, pick a different one that you do understand that you would not be okay with people punching, and punch up.
I think that's a great description.
Afflict the comfortable, don't comfort the afflicted. I mean, that's a sort of another way of saying that. We're almost, well, no, let me squeeze another caller in. Looks like we have Heather from Center City, Philadelphia. Heather, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I'm African-American and white. My mother is African-American. My dad is white. And I honestly, like, harken back to Chris Rock and George Carlin and some of the great comedians who made fun of everyone, and it was okay. And I don't understand where we draw the line where we're not allowed to make fun of anyone anymore. I think it's funny when people make fun of, you know, stereotypes. It's a stereotype for a reason. It's funny. And everyone needs to literally calm down and not be so offended by anything anyone says or does or dresses. We just relax, honestly. I mean, I'm African American, and I can say that. So I don't know where you guys want to draw the line on to, oh, we can make fun of politics. We can't make fun of anyone who's had any kind of beat down in life. Where do you want to draw the line? Are we going to be a politically correct society?
I think what Nellie said.
You have to say it's PT.
You know, Heather, I think what Nellie said, we should step back and take note of that. Punch up, not down. And when you think
about. What do you mean, punch up?
Well,
it's funny to make fun of things that are just satire. Where are we drawing the line? So are you not allowed to make fun of anyone, or you're a racist?
No.
Hold
on. Actually, let me give you.
If you make fun of Caitlyn Jenner, who is obviously getting paid $100 million to may or may not be really trans. Let's be honest here. Is this where we are?
Hold on 1 second, Heather.
We have
30 seconds now.
Yeah, with 30 seconds left, if you're not sure if Caitlyn Jenner is trans and you're okay with people who are black being made fun of, I'm not going to really engage you in an ethical debate on that. But it's when I say punch up, not punch down, satire is clearly – it's defined as making fun of a weakness or a bad quality. And we don't need to be making fun of weaknesses and bad qualities in people who are struggling to get jobs, who are struggling to overcome horrific suicide rates. When you're looking at suicide, 42% of trans-identified women, 46% of trans-identified men have attempted to commit suicide. That's just unacceptable and not who we should be punching.
Well, we have to end the hour. I totally screwed up the end of the show because we didn't want to play something in honor of David Bowie, of course, dying yesterday. This is Young Americans, part of which was recorded at Sigma Sound Studios in Philadelphia. He titled the tour in support of the record Philly Dogs. My thanks to all three of our guests for joining us today on Radio Times: Nellie Fitzpatrick, George Beatty, and Ian Morrison. She was a young American.